This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, see what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
He lost confidence in him.
I think he's furious. I think Trump sits there and says, let me get this straight. I know I didn't do anything with the Russians. Comey has said three times I didn't do anything with the Russians. Nobody in Capitol Hill has any proof I did anything with the Russians. And now I get an independent counsel who's going to mess up at least the next year at a minimum, and who, by the way, you'll notice is expanding his charge. I mean, now they're talking about not the Russians, they're talking about obstruction. Now they're talking about going and looking at financial files, if you believe the leak. And I said yesterday, you get two more leaks like this, Rosenstein's going to have to appoint a special counsel to investigate the special counsel.
Do you think Rosenstein should recuse himself?
No. I mean, I think this whole game of recusal now is a nightmare. I don't think people realize this. You have this legalistic nightmare trying to block the Trump presidency on behalf of a department in which 97% of the money was given to Hillary, and you want me to believe this is all just random behavior. As a historian, I don't believe it.
And so what do you think should happen here? If you've got allegations, if you've got people saying...
What allegations?
If you've got allegations of collusion, you say there's no evidence, but we don't know that.
Show the evidence.
So should they just stop it down?
No, show the evidence. If they have any evidence that Donald Trump personally is involved, show it.
But we're not talking just about Donald Trump.
What?
We're not just talking about Donald Trump.
But Trump did nothing to slow down the investigation below Comey. No one has suggested he did anything to the regular FBI could go investigate to the heart's content. Trump said he wanted it done.
Okay.
He was angry at Comey. He wasn't angry at the investigation.
We'll see how this all turns out.
Right.
I'm sure it will be many months of going back and forth. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Well, I'll tell you, that's, of course, Martha Raddatz and Newt Gingrich. This is the thing that's so frustrating about this, Scott, is that, it is a witch hunt. And I know people are sensitive about Trump's tweets and all that, but he's keeping, the issue in front of the people and in front of his followers that it is a witch hunt. And this is what it's proving to be more and more. And I like that Newt, she threw up, well, should he recuse himself? No, but you shouldn't have all this stuff that's going on. I mean, what a waste of time. I mean, we've got a year of all, of this special counsel and the money that we're going to invest at the end of the day for what? We're really not going to deal with the real issue, and that is the unmasking of Mike Flynn, of Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. They're not going to deal with that. They're not going to deal with the issue of, to me, it's like, all right, if you were going to expand this investigation, I would have expanded it in the things that really is foundational to this whole deal, and that's voter fraud. But they don't want to talk about that. No, let's just talk about, we've got something to hold on to. The media's having fun, so we'll just keep talking about, the Russian collusion. Oh, the Russian boogeyman that has taken place here. And meanwhile, this country is, we're slowed down. We're not moving forward. We're not progressing and doing these things, I think there was one article that was written about, if you want to look really what's happening, you got to look at kind of the heartbeat of the country and look at the stock market. What are they doing? Are they reacting to this news of the special investigator? It's not. I mean, they're not. I mean, look what's going on with the stock market. And that's a great, that's the canary in the coal mine here, I guess you could say. And say, okay, well, they're not seeing anything there, so they're moving forward. But meanwhile, politics as usual, let's just go ahead and let's slow down this Trump administration and hope that, he's one and done, or if he can get impeached. It's all about delegitimizing this president. That has been from day one, as soon as he was elected, that's been their focus. And to at whose expense, ladies and gentlemen? That's our expense. We are paying. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand is we're paying for this. How ludicrous is that? This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Our conversation continues. Thanks for joining us. It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
And as we maintain, if we're going to get this country back on track, it's going to be a bottom-up movement, not top-down. This is why we need an activist citizenship involved in getting this country back on track. You cannot rely on the elected officials. You can't say, well, I went to the voting booth in November, my job's done. Look, this is a government of, for, and by, we the people, which puts the responsibility of the efficiency or inefficiency of said government on the shoulders of we the people. So don't complain about it. Look in the mirror and say, okay, what am I doing to the end of getting this country back on track? Just about 7 minutes after the top of the hour, I've been looking forward to a conversation with our next guest. Alton Glass joins us. He is a celebrated director who is incorporating virtual reality in film. You knew it was only a matter of time with VR spreading the way it is. It was like, okay, how are we going to get this involved in filmmaking? Well, Alton Glass has been able to do that. Alton, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, great to have you here to tell your story. You're one of a handful of film directors and producers who have been, you know, taking a look at virtual reality technology and incorporating it into film. And your new film, A Little Love, which is your first film, has already garnered much acclaim, earning you an invitation to Facebook's exclusive Oculus Launchpad.
That's correct.
Well, your work is currently powered by Samsung, I understand. So tell us about this new film, A Little Love, if you would, Alton.
Well, A Little Love is about a overworked, you know, mom. You know, a lot of women are in the workforce now, and it's this mother. She's working really hard to, you know, provide for the family, and her daughter makes a birthday wish to spend more time with her, and her mother wakes up. Inside of her dollhouse. So you start to see what it's like from the child's perspective of wanting to spend more time with their parent. Mm. And we as the audience get a chance to see what that feels like as well. So it's, you know, it's a family, a mother, father, daughter storyline.
Mm. Right.
But, you know, we're starting to see more women out there working and you know, just pursuing their careers and having balance is a tough thing we all try to, you know, find in life.
Alton, it's interesting that you would address this issue. Is this what you're finding? Because it seems to be consistent with what I'm observing as well. And that would be that if the kids of, you know, this, you know, new generation of kids that are coming up, if they would have one request, one birthday wish, it is that they would have more time with their parents. And I find that to be the case. So it's interesting that I see you incorporating this in the movie, A Little Love.
Yeah, that's correct. Like, originally it was inspired by, you know, I was doing a lot of traveling, working, and, you know, it's great. You know, I love what I do, and sometimes I forget that, you know, it is a job, and I need to sometimes just slow down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids made a mention said, you know, hey, Dad, we'd like you to, you know, spend more time. And they were very vocal about it. You know, and kids, their brains, you know, like computers, they remember everything.
Exactly.
Said, you know what, this really touched me. So I said, but you know what, let me also look at the other perspective, because there are a lot of women that are working as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I want to be able to share that point of view as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we decided to make the lead. We changed the script, actually, to make it a woman.
Mm-hmm.
For the film.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, how did you incorporate virtual reality?
So I wanted to, you know, have that. What I love about virtual reality is it's like what people consider an empathy machine. So it allows you to actually be inside of the experience. And you have a little agency, you know, to look around and attach yourself to what you want to attach yourself to. So we decided, okay, how can we use this medium to do something different that you can't just do in traditional 2D cinema?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, we married a combination of live action, you know, film with something called a gaming engine content in a program called Unity. So mm-hmm. what happens is you have these characters that come to life and start talking to you, the daughter's toys, and then you're actually in a first-person point of view inside of the dollhouse with these characters, and the daughter is looking up at you like, honey, I shrunk the kids.
She's like, right.
And it makes you feel really small, and you can feel what that feels like to be inside of her world, wanting to have you all to herself. And that's why we decided this would be the perfect medium for that.
Mm-hmm.
And after we screened it for the first time, they felt exactly that. And we found that mothers connected to it even more so.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you come up with cutting-edge technology like this, and it's something that you saw could incorporate, as you say, these are things that have been done for quite a while in, you know, gaming projects, right? And so you say, is there a way to bring this into film? And, I mean, nobody else has done it. And so you do it, and it's not, I mean, it's only your career, everything you worked for on the line. So I'm sure there's a big sigh of relief when you yourself, you see it and you go, hey, this works. And the people around the team are saying it works. But when you take it out in the public and the marketplace says, hey, this works, boy, then it really comes together. And then it's a little bit easier to breathe in, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're definitely a little, you know, concerned in the beginning, because you're jumping into a medium that hasn't proven itself. And then people, you know, will look at all the other things that have come out and say, well, how do you know it's not going to be like this 3D? But when you look at virtuality's applications now, from medicine to education, there's so many different areas.
Exactly.
That VR and technology is being used to enhance our experiences and our communication. So I see it as something that's just going to continue to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So after making our first piece, you know, and being able to share that, we just say, you know what, if we don't help, you know, pioneer and be a part of building the foundation, we'll never know what it can do.
Right.
So we felt like we had to do it, you know, mm-hmm. and very proud that it actually worked out. And like you say, no risk, no reward. So
right.
Here we are.
Yeah, here you are. Well, I'm glad, you know, when I was reading, you know, your bio and how you got started in filmmaking, I'm thinking you sound a little bit like Spielberg, you know, how he would break into the sets and, you know, act like he knew what he was doing. But, you know, you got inside, you found a way, you know, as a janitor. I mean, talk about working yourself on up through the whole process and climbing the ladder. That's your story, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, my when I first moved to California, I mean, it was so expensive coming from, originally from Detroit,
mm-hmm.
went to school, went to college in Atlanta, Georgia. And when I moved out to L.A., you know, I was sticker shocked by the, you know, the price of living, cost mm-hmm. of living here.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out a way to, how can I make money and still pursue my dream?
Right.
And kind of fell back on what I you know, sort of picked up back home. And that was just, you know, I need to find a way to make some money and still have free time. So I said, okay, let me start a janitorial company. And I remember working for a maid service first in Malibu, cleaning these big giant homes. But it was inspiring at the same time.
Right.
And then I said, you know, why can't I just do this for myself? I decided to start my own business. And then I met a producer who did the movie for a studio called mm-hmm. Micro Boys, and they gave me the contract to clean all the sets.
Oh.
And then I turned that into an opportunity to become a camera creator.
Yeah.
And the rest just was continuing to build from there.
There you go. Well, where can they go for more information? We got about 5 seconds left here, Alton.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
If food became scarce, would you be able to feed yourself and your family? Have you found some emergency food supplies can cost upwards of $300 for a month's supply? And worst of all, they're packed with chemicals and other unpronounceable ingredients. At NorthwestFork.com, our mission is to provide you with food that's not only healthy and natural, but also affordable. At NorthwestFork.com, for only $127, you can order meals that are naturally high in fiber, carbs, and protein, packaged in Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers for superior shelf life. For a limited time only, your order ships free. But that's not all. Enter promo code PREP10 to receive 10% off your entire order. Call 800-700-2184 today. NorthwestFork.com keeps prices low by buying directly from suppliers in the Pacific Northwest, then passing the savings to you. Go to NorthwestFork.com or call 800-700-2184 for the most cost-effective and healthy food storage solution. That's NorthwestFork.com at 800-700-2184.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction, but what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lautinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Emails direct. NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com, and you can let me know your thoughts. You can get me directly with the email that we love to always get from you, and we get lots of those emails, so keep them coming. Good, bad, and different, let me know. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Well, 'tis the season with the summertime for vehicle thefts to be on the rise, believe it or not. No surprise at that. With the weather heating up, people are leaving their windows down or their engines running to keep their cars cool, making them easy targets for thieves. Now, after years of decline, vehicle thefts have begun to increase over the last few years. In fact, the total value of vehicle thefts in the U.S. is about $5 billion a year. That's billion with a B, ladies and gentlemen. More than the roughly $4 billion payroll for all of Major League Baseball. So for the years 2013 through 2015, a total of 147,434 were reported stolen with the keys left in the vehicle. I mean, that's almost like making your password, right? Or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got to be smarter than this. And here to explain and give us some great tips is Roger Morris. He's the Vice President, Chief Communications Officer with the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Roger, how you doing?
Very good, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Boy, these statistics are incredible. I mean, more than Major League Baseball? $5 billion? That's incredible.
Hard to fathom that, isn't it, what those baseball players make?
Yeah, exactly.
The average car that's stolen is worth about $7,000. So you have about 700,000 stolen a year in this country. That's down a lot. Back in the 90s, we were hitting a peak of 1.6 million a year. Mm-hmm. But the anti-theft technology that the manufacturers built into the cars has really reduced the number of thefts considerably. You just can't hotwire a car and drive it away today. So, but in the last couple of years, we've seen this an increase again, 2% a couple of years ago. And this past year, we think it's going to be about 6.5-7%. So that's kind of alarming. And what we're doing today is releasing our top 10 cities where your car is most likely to be stolen in the United States based on the theft rate by the population.
Well, I understand, Roger, a vehicle is stolen every 45 seconds in this country?
That's about right. That's what it averages out to. So there are plenty of them out there. Unfortunately, too many people leave their cars unlocked, unattended, maybe the keys in it running while they jump into the gas station or something.
Mm-hmm.
That creates a opportunity for a thief to easily steal a car. We think probably at least one or ten vehicles in the country are stolen with the keys left in it, which is a big mistake you can make. So at least take advantage of the anti-theft technology that's on your car, especially if you're in an area where there's a lot of thefts.
Now, Roger, is that one of the top reasons for vehicle theft, that we're just making it real easy for the thieves?
Well, it's one of the easiest. I mean, thieves are basically lazy. They will take the least troublesome route to steal your car. But the professionals are very good at what they do. And if they target a car, they're likely going to be able to steal it. Today, they're seeing the anti-theft technology is being defeated in some ways. We just tested a device that steals the signal from your fob when it communicates with your car, and basically can unlock the vehicle and, in most cases, start it. You can drive off with it. That's on a car that has a keyless remote and a push-button start. So that's kind of scary that the thieves are out there. Just like hackers, cars are basically computers on wheels today. And just like hackers, they're trying to figure out a way to defeat the system and stay ahead of the manufacturers as they build systems to counteract that.
I think it's interesting that you note that most stolen cars are not insured for theft. I wasn't even aware of this. I thought it was automatic. You say that many times the owner has opted, to drop coverage because, thefts are down and you don't hear about it very often. So they figure, okay, why insure for theft?
Well, yeah, most cars, the most stolen vehicles are the older vehicles. Obviously, the cars were made before anti-theft technology was introduced back in the late 90s. The 96 Accord, the 98 Civic, those are still very popular cars for thieves. They value the parts. There's a lot of them out on the road. They're used for racing. They steal the car engines. So there are very well-targeted cars, and they are always at the top of our list of most stolen vehicles. We'll have a new list out in a month or so. Mm-hmm. But the newer models, for instance, the new Honda Accord, very few of them are stolen because they're very difficult to steal these days.
Exactly.
So the fact is most people have to have their car insured for theft when they buy it because they have a loan on it. Mm-hmm. So when yes. the loan paid off after 4 or 5 years, or they sell the car or whatever, they drop the comprehensive coverage, and they're no longer covered for theft. So only about 30% of the cars usually are covered for theft when they're stolen. And even if they're recovered, a lot of them are recovered, but you don't know what condition it's going to be in when it's recovered. Usually there's damage or parts missing or wheels missing or bullet holes in it. So a lot of times these cars are stolen and be used to commit other crimes. And that's something you don't want your car to be involved in.
I want to think, challenge our audience, see if they can figure out what would be the number one day of the year last year where we had the most cars stolen. I'll give you a hint. The hot August nights, right?
Yeah. That was it. No, August 1st was the last, I believe, was the date last year. The most deaths the year before was in June. So June, July, August, into September are always the biggest months for car thefts. But on an average day, there's a couple thousand cars stolen across the country. So they don't even take the holidays off. I mean, they steal them like Christmas Eve. These guys, they may not want to work hard, but they keep busy.
Well, they know also, you know, when people are most vulnerable. And, you know, like you say, they see our patterns, and they know how to take advantage of us. You know, if we're going to leave the car running or we're a bit distracted, you know, all these kind of things contribute to... you know, help the thieves make it a little bit easier. Like you say, they're lazy. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to work too hard for this, right?
Unfortunately, you know, law enforcement had a big role in helping reduce the thefts over the past couple of decades, too. And because they've been so successful, in a lot of cases, their funding has been reduced. You don't see the auto theft task forces and the specialty car theft groups in the police departments anymore sometimes. And so you'll see cities like Albuquerque, where they were using bait cars very successfully a couple of years ago to help lower their thefts. Mm-hmm. Now that some of that funding has gone away, they can't keep the car thieves in jail overnight. I mean, it's a very difficult situation, and their car theft rate has shot up, and they are now number one on our hotspots list for top 10 cities.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, what about the layers of protection all drivers need to follow to avoid vehicle theft?
Well, first of all, you want to lock it up, take the fob and the key with you. Don't leave it an open invitation. Secondly, something as simple as, first of all, make sure your alarm system, which most people have on a car these days, is working. Yeah, they go off. Yeah, they are annoying, but a thief doesn't want to be around a car when the alarm's going off. And then something as simple as, if you live in a high crime area, or one of these top 10 cities, you might want to put something like a club on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they see that club, people laugh at that, but they don't want to take time to have to disable that. They want to be quick in and out. And, you know, that's just one more layer of a deterrent that helps to keep a thief away. If they want to steal your car, if they're targeting a specific make and model, and they're going to take that car and steal it and strip it for the parts, or they're going to take it and export it out of the country illegally, there's not much you can do to stop those guys. They're very good. They're very professional. And once they get their eyes on it, it's probably going to be gone. And we certainly tell people, don't ever try to stop a car thief or interfere or something like that. Your car or your health is not worth your health or your life.
Exactly. You touched on just a moment ago, but I want to give you time here. We got about a minute left, and a short minute at that. So some of the cities, most common.
Albuquerque is number one. They were number two last year. They moved up, unfortunately, to number one. Modesto, which was number one, dropped down to number four. We've got Pueblo, Colorado in at number two.
Really? Wow.
Bakersfield. A lot of California cities still, usually they dominate the list. There's six of them this year. It's Bakersfield, Riverside, San Bernardino area. Anchorage, Alaska came in at number six. Merced, California is number seven. San Francisco, Oakland area is number eight. Fresno is number nine. And Billings, Montana, number 10.
Who would have thought?
Based on the number of thefts per 100,000 people, so it's actually the most likelihood of your car being stolen in that area. It's not just the most thefts. It's how likely it is that you're going to have your car stolen in that particular area.
Well, Roger, we've got to bring it to a wrap. So where can people go for more information on vehicle theft prevention?
www.nicb.org. That's our website. Our hotspot is right there on the homepage today.
You got it. Roger Morris, Vice President, Chief Communications Officer, National Insurance Crime Bureau. Roger, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Ron.
This report is brought to you by Ortho. Honeybees and other pollinators are essential for maintaining a healthy ecosystem, allowing fruits and nuts such as apples and almonds to grow. While these crucial insects help provide us with some of our favorite foods, they often can't find enough food for themselves. The loss of natural habitats plays a large part in the declining population of pollinators. The week of June 19th is National Pollinator Week, and Ortho, along with its parent company, Scotts Miracle-Gro, wants everyone to know they can help by creating pollinator-friendly spaces around their home. Planting a pollinator garden is easy. Select plants with colorful blooming flowers that have continuous bloom cycle. When using pesticides, always follow the package instructions. Ortho's Pollinator Promise focuses on removing neonics from all their outdoor garden control products. Currently, Ortho offers consumers a variety of products that use alternative chemistries to control pests and disease that can harm the plants in your garden. For more information, visit ortho.com/pollinator.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
The truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. This is Bill Martinez live.
The whole truth. Yes, it's Bill Martinez at 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Josh Bernstein joins us now, radio talk show host, spokesman, strategist, writer, and it's always good to have his perspective here. He's also the official spokesperson for AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Mr. Josh, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Great to be back with you.
Hey, always good to have you here on with us. And I was particularly, I really plugged into what you were writing about in terms of the Comey expose. And this is something that I'm not sure all the pundits and all the King's men really saw what was going on here. It almost kind of reminded me, it was almost Lois Lerner-esque, to where, you know, she kind of offers up a confession. And maybe just because she confessed, then it somehow blunted the significance of it. But Comey, you know, he admitted to a lot of things. And as you say, kind of deep sixed the deep state. But he, more than anything else, he exposed it. So even though we've been talking about the deep state and the bureaucracy and the establishment, whatever you want to call it, clearly, it exists in our government, and we've got to get down to the bottom of this thing. We know, because when we talk about draining the swamp, this is what we're talking about. We've got to get rid of this alternative government that's been operating and making a lot of decisions on the part of we the people that have us $20 trillion in debt and counting.
Yeah, no, look, you're absolutely right. I think there's five things that we've learned from the Comey testimony. Number one, Comey has self-incriminated himself,
mm-hmm.
As he admitted in his testimony, that he was, in fact, an intel leaker. So there ought to be an investigation into that right then and there. I mean, you're looking at U.S. Code 18, 798, mm-hmm. which would be, you know, interfering and self-leaking and giving out personal information and you know, intelligence information to people that do not have clearance. So that would be one thing that I would look at. Number two, the New York Times story. He actually debunked the New York Times story that came out and talked about the Russians. He mm-hmm. actually said that that story was false.
Right.
Number three, Trump was never the focal point of any investigation. Now, we already know since his testimony that Trump's attorneys have also said that Trump is not under investigation. And he asked Comey at least on three occasions, am I under investigation? In which Comey said, no, you are not. Mm-hmm. So this brings me to another thing before I get into four and five. This brings me to another thing. I believe that President Trump should fire Robert Mueller immediately. And the reason that he can do this is simply to use Comey's testimony as the reason why he's firing him. All he has to say is, look, I'm firing Mueller because of the fact that Comey has testified to the fact that I am not under investigation. So therefore, why do we need a special prosecutor to investigate anything if I'm not the focal point of any investigation? I'm not under investigation, so therefore this does not need to continue. And he can then blame that on James Comey's testimony. Mm-hmm. That's well, something that I thought about.
Yeah, and your point's well taken here, Josh. And the other thing is Rosenstein, he's the one that hired Mueller. And there's no, you know, as we all know, I mean, you hire a special prosecutor to investigate a crime, and the crime that occurred, they're not even investigating. And I might even say the crimes that have occurred, if you go back and you include the stuff that happened with our former Secretary of State, all those are walked over, and now we're going after this boogeyman, supposedly. And as you say, and as Rubio rightly pointed out, saying, you know, interesting that these other things get leaked out, but the one that says that Trump is not under investigation, interesting that that doesn't get leaked out.
Yeah, exactly. And we also know that Loretta Lynch obstructed justice. There's no mm-hmm. question about it. I mean, Comey testified to the fact that she told him, do not call this a criminal investigation, instead call it a security matter. And when mm-hmm. he asked her why, she wouldn't give him an answer why. She just said, please follow the protocol. This is what the Clinton campaign is basically saying and doing, so we want to keep the same integrity and message moving forward. That is what he said then prompted him, according to his testimony, to do the 13-minute indictment, non-indictment speech
yes.
to the American public. So I think that she's guilty of 1510, U.S. Code 18-1510, which is obstruction of justice.
Yeah, she exactly.
needs to be investigated right away on that.
And that came out clearly from, you know, from this, you know, this inquiry from the House and the Senate, or the Senate rather. But, you know, the thing is, Josh, when I think about, you know, in Comey as a person, I mean, this guy is in serious need of some sort of therapy, you know, to figure out what the heck happened to me here in the last year or two, unless he was always this way. I don't know, but he really got himself in several buckets of gum to where he's probably questioning his own sanity.
Well, I would say that he's a showboater and he needs to be in front of the camera and he's waiting on his $10 million book deal.
Yeah.
And that's why you saw a clear, distinct difference between a true statesman in Attorney General Jeff Sessions
mm-hmm.
and a wild-haired, you know, I don't know, starved for attention Comey, who just kind of willy-nilly did his testimony. Maybe he worked out a deal already with the deep state that he wasn't going to be held accountable for anything that he said. I don't know.
Well, you know,
he
had to take a bullet. I mean, he had to take a bullet with, you know, you mentioned Loretta Lynch. I mean, she took three giant steps backwards. And next thing you know, he's there where she's supposed to be in deciding whether or not this is going to be taken to the next case. But it was such a hot potato. She wasn't, number one, going to recuse herself right after the tarmac incident. So now what does she do? And then, which I thought was quite ironic is that the current administration blamed Comey for basically supplanting the attorney general. But that's because the attorney general acquiesced that. And if the truth be known, this was probably a backroom deal. Not only are you going to call it a matter, but you're also going to announce the decision of your investigation.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? You hit it right on the, you hit the nail right on the head. First of all, with Tarmac number one, she should have recused herself immediately.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't. Instead, what did she do? She tried to fool the public into saying, look, I will go along with any recommendation of the FBI director. Well, no kidding, because you already made a deal backstage saying that you knew that she wasn't going to be indicted. So why wouldn't you come out publicly and say that I'll follow the recommendations of the FBI director? The whole thing stinks to high heaven. They both should probably be indicted on some kind of conspiracy charges, because there is absolutely no way at all that there was not some kind of backroom deal put forward and put through before she went out in front of the cameras and said, I will follow the recommendations of the FBI director.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like going to a car lot with really bad credit, and the guy says, can I get an application for a car? And you go, yeah, of course you can. Doesn't mean that you're going to be approved for it.
Right.
But sure, yeah, you can apply for a car loan. It's the same exact thing. It's like twisting words. So I think there is definitely a back deal made there. And is it ever going to come out? And is it ever going to come to fruition? I don't think so, because they're all going to plead the fifth like they've done in the
past. A lot is out right now, Josh, and of course we can't rely on the mainstream media to break it down for us. They're assuming that America, you know, like what's his name that was one of the architects for the Jonathan Gruber for Obamacare. He just said basically the people are just too stupid, in essence, and maybe that's the way they're playing us, is that we're all a bunch of mushrooms that they can pile on the manure and that everybody's going to buy into it. But I think they're starting to see what's going on. I mean, all you got to do is, you know, look at the testimony, check out the facts. How does a guy come on, give you, like you say, that conviction, non-conviction decision after he lays everything out? And you wonder, you go, did he say all that just to kind of cover himself and kind of have some sort of Clinton-esque plausible deniability on the whole thing after everything is said and done, right?
Well, yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And you have to also understand that Comey and the Clintons and Loretta Lynch and everybody, I mean, these are good, close buddies. These are people that have each other over for dinner. I mean, they party together. We're talking
right.
Hogan and Hartson back in the 1990s, the law firm, which they all were a member of. The Clintons did the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
For Comey is Matt
exactly.
Comey's brother.
Well, Josh, we're out of time. Good having you on with us. Josh Bernstein on Bill Martinez Live.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Hey there! Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right, get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at ShelterPod.com. The Shelter Pod at ShelterPod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With a ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Does matter. Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
You know, it's like I was talking to a few friends of mine last night. I said, it was an interesting conversation. You know, everybody had their viewpoint, and it was all welcomed. And at one point, somebody got a little excited about it. I said, look, you got to understand, if we all had the same opinion, then, you know, why have the conversation? You know, if we have we need differing perspectives here. As you say, if there's, more than one person in the room sharing the same thing, then one of you is redundant and unnecessary. So, hey, we got to keep the conversation going. So we welcome your viewpoint here. It's equal opportunity viewpoint deal, because this is what the First Amendment is all about. This is what makes America truly great. Welcome back. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. It is Bob Walaszewski time. Yes, Focus on the Family's Director of Media and Culture, and also the very popular Plugged In department, which you go to pluggedin.com to make sure that you and your family are being protected, and you got all the information that you have regarding any movies or DVDs and that sort of thing. And it's the day after Father's Day, and Bob got a real nice Father's Day present. His son is back home from Afghanistan, huh?
He is, and I'm so excited. I haven't seen him. Mm-hmm. We're talking, and all I did is, it was late last night that he FaceTimed me, and he was at baggage claim, and he was like, Dad, I'm finally home.
It
was a whirlwind getting home. He was, I think he was like 5 days to get out of Afghanistan. Then he was like 2 days. He went to Kuwait, and then he went to Germany, and then he went to New Hampshire, and then, so it was. It's not like a nonstop.
Right, exactly. It's the military. Hey, you get on any plane that's getting you out of the zip code, and eventually you'll end up at the zip code that you want to be. But thank God he's home safe. Again, we're grateful for his service to our country and your family's service, because this is a family service deal. It's not, and people need to understand it. You know, for people who have children in the military, the whole family's engaged. It's not just the person that is overseas or out there. It is all involving, isn't it?
It is. And he's a newlywed too. He got
on top of this
in May of 2016, and then was deployed in October of that same year. So I mean, they were hardly off their honeymoon, in my opinion, before bingo the orders came in. And he's a JAG officer. He's a lawyer.
Exactly. Well, doesn't the Bible say something about that, Bob?
What's that?
Doesn't the Bible say something about that, about going and being deployed in the military and within the first year of your marriage?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. There is something, you know, about...
So tell that JAG officer, we need to throw, you know, chapter and verse on the military on that one.
Well, I know. And the other thing, the Bible doesn't say anything, but I wonder is why a lawyer has to be in the Mideast to do his or her job. It always seems, I'm not going to question the Army, but it just seems to me that you can make good legal decisions and give good legal advice from a nice base stateside. But anyway, he's finished. He's back. I'm proud of him. Glad he's home. It was a great Father's Day, like you said, a great Father's Day. Just having the FaceTime time with him while he's at baggage claim yesterday was the best present of Father's Day I think I've ever had. So
that's a lot to be said about the technology and FaceTime. I'm able to stay abreast of our 9-10 months now. He's almost a year, and he'll turn a year in August, the 9th grandson. And it has just been so sweet to be able to FaceTime with my daughter and see little Jackson. And we love this technology. It is just, it's brilliant.
Yeah. You feel bad for those that had to serve in World War II or World War I or even Vietnam, where sometimes a letter that you might send from the battlefield could be 3 or 4, 5, 6 months, depending on what war and how long it took to get home. Where, where like you said, these days you can FaceTime or send an email, and it's a bit easier. Is it easy? Absolutely not, but it's better. So,
well, that's a movie scenario, Bob. And that is letters from the front, and some of these letters that get delayed. I think I was reading recently where somebody got a love letter. It was dated back in World War II and was lost in the postal service purgatory. It was just kind of just out there, and eventually it landed where it needed to be. So you hear stories like that that are just so touching, where eventually it gets delivered, and not all the time, but certainly it's quite extraordinary. But opposed today, you Facebook, you email, and for the most part they're getting delivered pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely are.
Hey, we got to talk movies.
Transition to movies?
Yeah, it's that time. We got Cars 3, huh?
Start your engine.
Yeah, I love it. That's great.
Wonder Woman had been on the top of the heap, as many of our listeners know, especially those that hear us on Mondays. And 2 weeks, it made a buku amount of money, $274 million just in the U.S. alone. There was a question mark of whether it could stay on the top or whether the new Cars 3 by Pixar was going to bump it. And of course, I thought it was going to bump, and it certainly did. But it's the lowest grossing of the three Cars movies thus far. But still, I think Disney has to be pretty happy.
Exactly.
It made $53 million. And most of these days, studios look for their international revenue even more so than the U.S.
Exactly.
And it did well overseas. I haven't gotten final numbers, but it just translates well in country after country after country. You got
What was the budget on Cars 3? Do you have that number now?
I'm actually looking at the Box Office Mojo shoot, and they'll put it in it if they have it. But they don't have it, so I don't have the numbers on that. But this one was an interesting one for me, Bill, because it actually had an adult theme. Now, I don't mean adult in like, oh, this is an adult sensual movie. I mean as a more mature theme. What you have is Lightning McQueen, that we've known from past Cars film, is getting old.
Yeah.
And he's wondering whether there's enough left in the tank for one more victory.
Yeah.
Or should he think about mentoring a younger generation of car racer? And you know what? The kids are going to love it because there's a, demolition derby smash 'em ups and lots of color and lots of fun and humor. But I think parents, myself included, kind of like the movie message about getting a little older. And you don't typically find that in your typical animated fare. But, Disney Pixar has kind of been out of the norm. With Up, it was very out of the norm. And so it was not unexpected to see a little bit more of a different type message for Cars 3. I liked it. Mm-hmm. So glad it did well. And by the way, we gave it a perfect score, Bill. It's been a long time since the film, a 5 out of 5.
Yes.
This one, we started talking about what potential problematic content, and we couldn't come up with anything. We said, well, there was a heck. And at one time it said, son of a gun. It was like, no, we're not going to knock it down for that.
Yes.
So it got a perfect score. So.
Wow. Well, congratulations to Pixar again. Not necessarily their best outing, but third best for Pixar series.
Yeah, and it did well. Number 5 coming in was another movie, a brand new one called 47 Meters Down. Mm-hmm. This actually had been a straight-to-DVD intended film from a little unknown studio called Entertainment Studios. But last year there was a film about sharks and a girl who gets stranded out on a buoy called The Shallows. Blake Lively was in that, you might remember. And it did pretty well. And I think this little studio decided, let's see how we do at the theater. And, you know what? They really didn't do that bad. They made $11 million on it. I think it's a Jaws-esque, you know, people just were interested, whether it's Sharknado or whatever, people were interested in sharks. Uh-huh. And the theme of this one was two girls in a shark cage, their sisters, on vacation in Mexico. The cable breaks, they go down to the bottom, 47 meters down, and they have an hour's worth of oxygen, and they're trying to survive. And, you know, anybody can relate to that, I suppose, you know, just the fact that if I went swimming and I got in the bottom of the ocean like that, what would I do? And so was it a great movie? No, it was straight to DVD type movie, but it did pretty well. But it also wasn't made for a movie about sharks and people that get bit. I'll just put it that way. It wasn't overly gory. And there was definitely some heroism and just a teeny bit of language. We gave it a 3. So it actually had potential for family viewing.
Well, Bobby, you know, here on the West Coast, where I'm at right now, in California, lots of shark sightings. So maybe the timing of this movie, in light of the additional shark sightings we're seeing, I mean, there's some, you know, conversation that maybe the sharks are showing up on the West because of the effects of Fukushima still. That you got that radioactivity coming across and that it has destroyed some of the natural animal life that the sharks are feeding on. And they're just, you know, they're just coming. You know, to California looking for Democrats, I guess, or something. I don't know. Did I say that? Did I say that? I thought it, I was just thinking that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Yes.
Yeah, I know. It was Freudian slip. Yeah. Lastly, there was a new film out called Book of Henry. Book of Henry did not do greatly. In fact, where is it here? Number 13, it made $1.4 million. Naomi Watts was in it. What do we have, a minute?
Yeah.
She's a loving mother, but a very irresponsible mother. And her 11-year-old son kind of runs the family. She'll be playing violent video games, and he's balancing the checkbook and making sure his younger brother has fruits and veggies. But it's really about saving the girl next door. However, a lot of language, and we gave this one a 2.5.
Well, we'll see at the movies. A lot of good stuff there. Congratulations to Pixar and Cars 3, number 1 this week, upending Wonder Woman. Thank you, Robert.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1¾ inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week. In addition to the extra walking, my hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day, one with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Anytime.